Tonight's going to be a special night as well because we have another awesome family, kind of a part of our interviews this past summer that's been going on a couple of months now. We've interviewed a few missionaries, and I think that it's great because it's our year of missions, and tonight we're going to hear from Savo and Christina Lawali, and they're going to come. They're part of New Community, just a great, great couple, and they're going to come and share a little bit about what God's done in their life, how he's called them to be a missionary. They're currently serving on the campus of MSU, and we're going to let them tell you a little bit more about what they're doing tonight. And we're going to do it in an interview fashion, and it's going to be great. So would you put your hands together, and let's welcome Savo and Christina. In the middle, Savo. Now, Savo and Christina, they have two beautiful children, Imani, who was a year and a half, and Joshua, who was just born 7 weeks old. And so before we get started, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourself? By the way, if Christina just ups and leaves, it's because Joshua's first night in the nursery is tonight. So would you likewise give her permission to leave if she gets paged with our little pagers? And, you know, we got, how many pager friends do we have out there? Yes, sir. I'm a proud carrier myself. Yep, so if she has to give up and get up and leave, that is more than fine. So we welcome you guys. Tell us a little bit about yourselves before we get started, your current job, you know, how long you've been married, maybe some good information like that.
All right.
It's on.
I'm on. Okay. I grew up in Nairobi, Kenya, and I was born and raised there and then came here 13 years ago. And I've been at MSU the whole time as a student, and then currently doing campus ministry with Chi Alpha. And that's the shortened version of all of that. Got plugged into Chi Alpha as soon as I came in. Met Christina there, and she was a bass chick, and I'd never seen one of those before. And I married her because...
A what chick?
A bass chick. She played the bass guitar.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
So come on!
You know, I had kind of the same reaction.
Oh, that is so awesome.
And
hey, we talk to me afterwards. I got a little, you know, get you in the rotation, girl.
It'll be funny seeing Christina playing the bass guitar and holding Joshua on the other
yes.
side.
Yes.
Anyway, and so we're both involved in the ministry together for the most part. And now that we have the kids, it's a little different. But I'll let you say a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I grew up in the wonderful town of Branson, Missouri. So we always say when Branson meets Nairobi, Kenya, you know there's a God. So, I mean, but I grew up in a Christian home in an Assemblies of God church, wonderful family, and came to MSU to go to school. I really felt like God called me to go to MSU rather than Evangel or CBC or school like that to be a witness on the campus. And was really thankful that I found Chi Alpha because that was kind of my rock throughout my school years. I majored in religious studies, so, you know, I was constantly bombarded with, you know, things that contradicted my faith. So I was really thankful for Chi Alpha and just got involved in leadership and met Savo, and here we are.
Wow. So Savo, you grew up in Kenya.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what age were you when you came to the States?
I was 20 years old.
Okay, and yeah. You came to go to MSU, right?
I came to go to MSU.
And so tell us a little bit about growing up in Africa. What was that like? We were talking before about how you liked the Transformers growing up.
Yeah, I did like the Transformers growing up. We had a lot of Western shows and cartoons and stuff, and Transformers was one of those that we really liked. My brother and I especially really enjoyed. And so,
were they all the same Transformers? I'm just curious. Like Optimus Prime.
That was Optimus
Prime. All the same. Yes.
Pretty much all the same. All the same ones. And so. So I'm a big fan, and in fact, I asked Pastor Mike to come with me to go see the Transformers when it came out. We got to watch it at the IMAX. I got that as a Father's Day gift, and he was busy, so he couldn't come. But Christina was really sweet. She went to watch Transformers with me. She was really she enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it, but
yeah,
maybe not.
We can tell.
Yeah. But there's a lot of things that we watched and grew up knowing about the U.S., and I think that's something that sometimes you forget being here, is that the world watches what's going on in the U.S., and this is a place that people really desire to come to. And you have so much that people would like to have, lifestyles that people think are the pinnacle of, you know, of they're the greatest things to lifestyle to live. And so there's many of us that come to the U.S. to try and make it in life and live a better lifestyle than we do, instead of scraping by and struggling. And especially a lot of people come here as to study, because an American degree is really highly valued in many nations. So that's kind of the reason why I came after high school.
Are there any, like, perhaps funny stories or interesting stories about growing up?
No funny stories, man.
Growing up in Kenya, or, you know, I know a few, but I'm not gonna tell them on you.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid the funny stories. I'm one of the 10, 11 kids. My mom and from one mom and one dad, and 11 kids was, I guess, not very normal for having just, you know, same parents, but generally we have bigger families, and being the eighth out of 11, obviously I got picked on a lot by my brothers and my sisters to tell me what to do. I played a lot of games with them and stuff that they wanted to do. I don't really enjoy Barbies. I don't know what I'm going to do when my daughter starts playing with them, but because my sisters made me do a lot of that. And
you play with them. That's what I
That's I'm getting into VeggieTales
like
nowadays.
Now.
You do?
Yeah.
I'll need some therapy. I'll need some help working through this.
Yeah. It's the only thing we have in our house is just Barbie.
Wow.
Sorry.
Okay. Things to come. Okay. You know, so we did a lot of things, and that we lived in Somalia for a while. My dad was a diplomat in Somalia. And while we were there, I was about 3 or 4 years old. And my dad used to park the car like somewhere where the door is, and the kitchen door was like right here where the stage is. And he would, you know, there was nine of us then, and he'd be like, okay, go to the car, get out all the groceries. So there was this, you know, trail of kids picking up stuff, and I decided I'm old enough to go get stuff. And I have this real liking for bananas. I don't know if you guys have eaten the small, sweet bananas. I haven't really seen them or eaten them here in the U.S. That's stuff I really enjoy eating. And so I picked those out of the car. And growing up, we grew up with, you know, where there's trees and there's monkeys and there's all that stuff around. And it's just, you know, part of your everyday wildlife and environment. And so monkeys are really smart. And there's this three-year-old kid who is carrying a bunch of bananas. And that was his opportunity. And so the monkey came and just knocked me down to the ground. And so me and the monkey are having this fight.
Why is that funny? Why are they laughing?
I don't know. That's really sad.
That's because sad. They're laughing at you.
I was really struggling. I was traumatized
by
this experience. Anyway, so the monkey knocks me down to the ground, and we're fighting back and forth, you know, trying to hold on to the bananas. And and I'm crying and holding on to these things because I love the bananas and the
You're
monkey.
Fighting with a monkey.
I'm fighting with a monkey. So the monkey overpowers me, just shoves me to the ground, eventually knocks me down, and takes off with the bananas. And I run to the house crying, but I realize that everybody was just there watching and laughing the whole time. And so they still make fun of me for that till today. And yeah, that wasn't the first time a monkey stole something from me. I also had a monkey steal a mango from me growing up, too, so I love those monkeys. But that's some of the stuff that I grew up experiencing.
You're welcome. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about, so you came to MSU, got involved with Chi Alpha, met Christina, we're married, And somewhere along the line, God did something in your heart to keep you here, because you are now working on the campus with Chi Alpha of MSU. Tell us a little bit about how you've come to feel that God's called you into this work now full time.
Well, when I first came, I knew that God wanted me to come here because I'd prayed about it. There's a lot of people who want to just leave Kenya and leave Africa and to come to the U.S. And I had struggled with that because I really desired to do that as well. But I had to give that to God and be like, God, if you want me in Kenya, I will serve you here and do the best that I can. And after I did that, I felt like he told me, okay, now I want you to go to the U.S. And I knew that he had brought me here for a purpose. And throughout the whole process, he continued to just form things in my heart and put impressions in my heart. Specifically, Chi Alpha was one of those things that that really helped anchor me, as Christina said, and helped me grow and challenge me and see a different side of God. And through that, God began to show me some things. And he began to show me, for example, that there's a lot of international students like me who are coming here, but unlike me, do not know him, and they need to know him. And so I kept grappling with that. I really wanted to go in the diplomatic corps. I didn't want to do campus ministry. I didn't want to do ministry. I wanted to serve God in the workplace. So that was my heart. And one day, one of my mentors asked me, "What are you going to do after you graduate?" I said, "I want to work for the UN or be a diplomat in Kenya through our nation." And he said, "Why don't you think about Chi Alpha?" And I had a high view of Chi Alpha, but I really wanted to do the other stuff. And so I decided to put it before God. And as I did, what happened was, what really nailed it for me was that I had this somewhat of a vision, and it was just me sitting there, and I was talking to God, and there was this huge corridor, I went through the corridor, and this was like a different doors. God was showing me the things that he has done. There was different doors to it. I'd open, and God was showing me the things that he's done in my heart and in my life, the things that he has provided for me, the things that he has shown me, things he's been forming in my heart. And at the end, he asked me to turn around and look back. And it's like I could see all the things that he had been doing. And then he told me something that I'll never forget till today from the book of Esther, Esther chapter 4, and said, you know, in the same way that it was for Esther, it was for such a time as this, of all that I brought you here. I brought you here to reach the nations for me. So that really gripped my heart, to realize that God continues to send missionaries, but he also continues to send people like me here, and he also continues to bring the nations to us. There are so many international students that are coming to the U.S. is about 630,000 or more that are currently studying in the U.S. who are going to be the politicians, the future leaders, prime ministers, doctors, lawyers, and most of them do not know the Lord. Majority of them are from nations that do not accept missionaries. And yet God is bringing them to us. And he's bringing them to us at a time when they're so impressionable. They're able to ask questions about Christ and really want to know more about who this Jesus is. So he's brought the nations to us, and God's put it in our hearts to really reach out to them by just loving and serving them. So, yeah.
Well, talk to us about MSU specifically. I'm not sure how long you've been there. Maybe you can share how long you've been now serving at MSU. But specifically about MSU, I mean, there are, from what I understand, a lot of international students who are attending MSU. Tell us what it's like to be a Chi Alpha missionary, what it's like to do what you're doing. What does that look like? How do you reach out to them, people who are from your country and for people who are from beyond there as well.
Do you want to show me that too?
Currently at MSU, there are right at 1,000 international students studying there, and from about, I think, 80 different nations. And the most populous one is China, right?
And India are always competing, and yeah. So China is going to take over, again, 250 new Chinese students.
And then the second largest is India, and then there's just a whole bunch of different countries beyond that. But So they come here, and then like when they first arrive, that's a key opportunity for us, is just to love and serve them. So we do things like a big welcome day that we call International Day, and it's where they come out to this camp in Ozark. We bus them out there. We feed them a huge meal. We have some entertainment and some games going on, and we do a fireworks display and just try and welcome them to the U.S. and to Springfield. And we try and get the mayor to come and welcome them.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we also have what we call a furniture giveaway, where we help provide free furniture to them, because you can't bring couches and chairs and beds from your country when you come. So we try and help provide those kind of things for their apartments. And just through those types of service opportunities, we build relationships with them and just try and get to know them and let them know what we're all about. And, of course, we have Bible studies that we do. Some are investigative, where they can just come and learn about Jesus in a non-threatening environment. And then we have discipleship opportunities going on. We have a Friday night leadership group that meets every Friday night. We feed them a meal because...
Food is the common language.
Yes, food is it. And we feed them a meal, and we just really help disciple a few core leaders, and then they, in turn, have their own Bible studies that they lead. So it's kind of the basic framework of what we do.
Basically, that's most of what we do, and there's the other aspect of it. One is loving and serving the international students. There's the leadership development, there's with the Christian international students pouring into them so that they can reach out to the campus during the 2 Timothy 2:2 thing. And then there's, we found one of the things that you need to do on a campus, on a secular campus, is that is not done regularly, is find ways to serve the university. We're called to serve. We're called to love and serve. And if we can find ways to serve in the environment we are, in the context that we are in, it opens so many doors. So we serve the university in ways that enhance the international student experience. So the furniture giveaway that we do, which we're doing one, if that's okay for me to mention.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
We're doing one on the 15th of August. And this, we're expecting about 350 new international students to come. About 200 of those are supposed to be from China alone, and who are going to be just really open to hearing about Jesus and learning a lot of things. So it's just really amazing opportunities. And there's Saudi students, there's, you know, Indian students, there's African students, and there's some that I'm missing out on. But we're providing good used furniture, no rips, no stains or tears, because we're rolling out the red carpet to them. This is an opportunity like unlike any other. There are students who remember us today and know us, you know, because there's some students on Facebook that find me on Facebook and say, and I don't talk to them regularly, but randomly would just say, "Hey, Savo, I remember you. You helped me when I first came. I will never forget that." And it's just a way to love on them and get them catch a glimpse of how good God is, because they know that we are Christians and we're the ones who are loving them. God gave us a biblical mandate: love the foreigner, love the alien in your midst, in Deuteronomy. And I love what Paul says. He says in Acts 17 that God is moving people from one place to another, and basically, I'm paraphrasing, he does it so that perhaps they could reach out to him. Perhaps they would reach out to him and find him, and they would seek him and find him, though he's not far away from them. And that's what international students are coming here to do. So through serving them, the furniture giveaway on the 15th of August, we ask people to give good used furniture. We ask people to come and help with your trucks and help pick up furniture from your house or other people and other of your friends. We take it to the Hammond Student Center, the basketball court. And then in the afternoon, 1 p.m., students come through. We had about 120 last year. They come through, and we deliver it to their apartments.
Wow.
And it's just a way to just love them. The university eats that up. They love it. They're helping provide the food for it and everything else, because it's one more less thing that they don't have to worry about. But then they know that there are Christians on the campus who are loving the international students, which allows us to share with them about who Jesus is, because we have loved on them. So that's one of the other areas that we just used to serve to reach out to the international students.
Do you find that the students who come here from overseas, no matter what country, are generally open to hearing the gospel? Or do you find that you have to sort of, maybe if they come from a Buddhist background or a Hindi background or whatever, or a Muslim background, do you find that you have to work through their lens and their worldview to help them understand Christianity? Or do you just present them the love of Christ and they are they open to that? I know this is kind of a difficult question to so just paint in, you know, a broad brush, but you know, with the students that you work with that are coming here to Missouri, what have you found to be the most you know, perhaps confrontation or whatever, or maybe they accept the gospel? What sort of reception do you get when you share with them?
Most of what we do to be able to share the gospel, if the truth is, if we get there, but it all has to be based on friendship. It's that irreducible minimum that you can't go without. It has to be there. It's something that's what this is about. It's about friendship. And you build a relationship with an international student. For the most part, most of them want to get to know about you. 90% of an international students that come to the U.S. never get to walk into an American home. Translation, they don't get to build relationships with Americans. And that's the one thing that they need the most, is relationship. They've left their social network at home, and this is a huge gap that's missing. And so if you build relationship with them, they get to know who you are. They get to know that you actually just love and care for them, whether or not they're Christians. But a part of the conversation that always develops is, why do you do these things, and who, what do you believe? Can I come to church with you? And all those kind of, you don't really have to force a lot of those things. And if, you know, if I can just generalize, most of them believe America is a Christian nation. And so expect those questions. And the other thing I can say is, I find outside of America, most people will talk about religion. And so they always want to talk about that. With the African students, it's always a question and something that we normally talk about. With Asian students, I think Christina has quite a bit more connections with them, and maybe there's anything you need to add to that.
The Asian students are really open. They, like, it's just a curiosity thing. It starts that way, just a curiosity thing. But I guess the best way for me to explain that is to give an example. I had a girl named Marie. She came from Japan. She actually came to this church a little while, but she came here from Japan, and the day that she arrived at the airport, we picked her up. We were assigned to her, and she walks off the plane with a skateboard in one arm, and this big, bright pink hat, and just was not your typical Japanese student.
Wasn't it late at night, too?
Yeah, it was like midnight when we picked her up, but we just built a friendship with her. I took her to get her first cell phone and just different things like that, just served her in that way, and we built a friendship, and then she found out I was doing an investigative Bible study, and so she came, and she was actually the only one who came the first week, and then she's like, well, can I invite my friends? And I was like, sure. So she ended up bringing the whole Bible study, like five or six girls who were not Christians, and so we had a great Bible study, and she came to my Bible study for about a year and a half. And then she ended up going to this conference with us for international students, and she was really confronted with the gospel at that conference, and it scared her, and she kind of like just disappeared for about a year and a half. But we kept praying for her, and last November, got a phone call from Yuriko. Actually, Marie was friends with Daisuke and Yuriko also, and Yuriko said that Mari had accepted Christ, and it was awesome, and it was just kind of a process for her, you know, to see that, to see God's love in action through friendship and through people serving her and loving on her, and she just graduated, and she got a job in Columbus, Ohio, and she's just really living for the Lord, so it's just one example of how it kind of works for us, just loving them through friendship.
No, for me, I overcomplicate sharing the gospel. You know, and sometimes I think I've personally reduced sharing the gospel to this to this like standardized picture of I have to stand and they have to listen to me give my eloquent speech on the ABCs of the gospel, when oftentimes just meet someone at an airport that doesn't know God and showing them friendship, taking her to get her first cell phone, and then having an investigative Bible study with her for a year and a half. Great for you, Christina. That's awesome that you're doing that. I know serving on the secular campus can't always be the most encouraging thing. And I know that there are encouraging times and there obviously have to be discouraging times. And I'm just sort of wondering what has helped you persevere over the years. Are there any scriptures? Are there any things that God has spoken to you over the years that have sort of kept you in the game? Because a lot of times, you know, in ministry, you live between this tension of, you know, great elation and high frustration. Yeah. And it's finding those anchor points that I think get us through the moments where we have no adrenaline. Sometimes it's easy to serve the Lord when we have adrenaline, you know. It's like, oh, yeah. And oftentimes we mistake adrenaline for anointing, and we think, oh, I'm excited, so I must be anointed. And then when you're not excited, then you think maybe you lost the anointing. But oftentimes we neglect God's word. And I know as we were talking about some scriptures or some things that God's spoken that's helped you get through that. Would you mind sharing that just a little bit?
I don't mind if you guys don't mind me opening this and here, Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, then it goes on to say you will win favor and a good name the sight of God and man. And there's so much more really awesome stuff in that. But one of the things that I like the way you explained it, you know, the frustration and elation and just trying to be to be as passionate as possible, to do as much as possible with given what God's allowed you to do with the resources you have. And with International Students Campus Ministry, it's really hard, especially with international students, because you really never get a good gauge for where they are, and they don't always respond the way you want them to. When Marie disappeared for a year and a half, you're like, wow, what did we do wrong? You know, and then you also go through the other side of the ministry where you're dealing with transition. We've gone through transition where we've had, over the time that we've been there, we've had three different campus pastors as our directors. And so we come under that as an international student ministry directors. And that just, you know, that just wears you thin after a while. And the longer you have been around, you know, you lose some of the sweetness that you initially had, some of the purpose, the focus that was there. And somehow it can become about numbers, and it becomes about you, and it becomes about so many other things that it isn't. And I found that God is so focused on my heart and the condition of my heart and where I'm at. And there's a time that I was just processing all of that stuff. And he just brought me back to this. And what's really stood out to me was him talking to me as his son, saying, do not forget my teaching. Mm-hmm. But mostly, you know, the fact is that it brings prosperity and the blessings. But it's the fact that he said, let love and faithfulness never leave you. And because the reason I bring that up is because those are the things that I just want to throw out the window. I want to continue just doing things based on my expertise, on what makes me feel good, and what would get me the biggest bang for my buck, in a sense. And there's the first thing I want to do is throw out something that I know I need to continue working on, even though I'm not getting the results I want to. And the frustration sets in. The biggest thing that I feel like I have struggled with transitions, different directors and stuff, is, and you guys probably experienced that at the workplace or wherever it is, that what develops after a while is this, I've been there, done that attitude, I tried it, it didn't work. Somebody new coming in, it's so easy to just shoot them down and say, all right, we'll see how long they will last, and I'll probably outlast them anyway, and, you know, we'll get somebody else. But at the same time, in your heart, you're really hurting inside. And God's still focused on where your heart is, and He says, "Don't let go of love," which Paul said, "Christ's love compels me." It's what is a motivating factor in everything that we're doing. Don't let go of that, and continue to be faithful regardless of whatever else is going on. And that's why I think He says, "Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart." Find a way to put that in your heart in such a way that no matter what's happening, hold on to those for dear life. This is what it's all about, basically. And so that's what God's been putting in our hearts. It's just let that anchor you. Let God's love anchor us. That's what He's been really speaking to us about at a heart level. And continue to be faithful. Don't get callous. Don't feel like you've been there. You know stuff. Be open to trying new stuff. Be open to new people coming in to tell you, hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you do this? Whether or not they know it or not. And just be their biggest fans and encourage them as much as possible. And sometimes that's not looked upon well. Some people think, well, you don't really know too much, and so I'll continue to tell you stuff. And they seem like they're walking all over you. But regardless of the fact, I just think that God really wants us, and I'm sure for all of us too, to let love and faithfulness never leave us, regardless of where you are. At the end of the day, He's going to be looking at those things, not the many things that we have done, the amount of successes we have had, but the love and faithfulness, that we continue to be steadfast in Him, and that we continue to be compelled by His love to accomplish whatever He sets before you.
Amen. Amen. What can we do? What can we do for you? How can we pray for you too, you know, as you're serving day in and day out on a campus that's, you know, literally less than a few miles away from here? How can we pray for you? How can we be maybe I'm speaking more personal. I was going to say, how can we be better friends to you, you know, and how can we help? Maybe share a little bit about that.
I think if I could start in a minute. I think one of the ways, just pray for us when you think of us. Pray that, you know, God will continue to give us strength. I continue feeling like I'm walking into situations, and this is God's favor, that just a way above me, you know, I'm in over my head and I have no idea what's going on. Thankfully, God gives us the grace. But just pray for wisdom. I always ask for, you know, for prayer for wisdom, both Christina and I, and for favor with the students. And with the university, and God will open doors that would find ways to continue to walk in between being, you know, the campus pastors on a secular campus reaching out to international students. And that can be tricky. The other thing is, there's an element of this, that when you're working with students of any kind, but specifically international students, there's an aspect to it that doesn't involve apologetics, doesn't involve the sharpness of your presentation or any technological whatever you can come up with. It's just the raw power of the Holy Spirit to be able to convict hearts, to reveal God to them, and to draw them to Him, and somehow for us to be in the middle of all that. That's not something I can work out. That's just something that comes about through God working through His Holy Spirit. So pray for that on our campus. For years, I've believed that God wants to do that. Just reveal Himself to students, draw them to Him, and we continue to pour into them and send them out to the marketplace, the university, the marketplace, and the world. I don't know if there's anything.
Well, I think also, just personally, for anyone in ministry, it's just hard to balance ministry and family life. And, you know, now we recently just added a baby to our family, and makes things so different. But just we want to serve our students as much as we can, but we also want to serve our family, and you know, our kids are our ministry as well. And so we just need balance and wisdom regarding that.
Well, we'll definitely pray tonight for you guys, and wanted to remind everyone about the furniture thing that's coming up. Would you tell us a little bit about that again? You said that's coming up.
It's coming up
soon.
Next month, August the 15th, and that's a Saturday, in case you're wondering what day it falls on. And
tell us again what you need for that, or what you
good need. Used furniture. We're not talking about appliances, you know, kitchen stuff, and we're just focusing on furniture, couches, you know, beds, desks, chairs, and stuff like that. And that's the bulk of what we need. The university doesn't have enough housing to absorb not only all the international students that are there, but and the rest of the students, but about 350 new ones coming in. So we really need more furniture. So August 15th, 9 o'clock at the Hammond Student Center, we actually have a sign-up sheet over there, and some more information on that. Feel free to sign up, and we'll send you some more information with directions. It'll be great to have as many of you from here that can be involved. If you don't have furniture, feel free to come and just serve. Come and meet these students. I'm missing out on anything else in regard to that day. Yeah.
Well, before we close, I want to invite one of my friends to come up. He actually is somewhat an African. He grew up in Africa. And my friend Jeremy Tucker, if you wouldn't mind coming up. As he's coming up, I'm going to have Jeremy lead in a word of prayer for you guys. I just want to remind everyone that as I sit here and listen to a missionary story, I realize that their story and the things that they face are not unlike the things every single one of us face in the workplace or in our own lives or whatever. And Proverbs chapter 3, and I just feel like just one more verse is just pretty powerful. And I think Savo left that hanging because most of us know it. It's a great place to maybe end and ponder as we are getting ready to leave. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. It's a good thing for us to remember that our success really comes, as you were saying, about remembering about God's love and faithfulness that He's told us to remember, and that serving Him also sometimes only becomes about results. And really, I think that's only a part of it. I mean, results are important, but staying loving and staying faithfulness, and specifically want to pray to that end for you tonight and for us all tonight. So, Jeremy,
wanted to say, guys, thanks a lot for your love and compassion. We had, you know, Joshua, and we had so many of you guys come and provide the food for that, and I don't know how else to say it, but just thank you so much. It meant so much to
tell them in Kenyan.
Asante sana, tunashukuru sana, and that's in Swahili, saying thank you so much. We're really grateful for all your love, and we enjoy being a part of a new community. We may not be here always, but because there's stuff going on campus, and that's just the nature of things with students. But we love every moment we're here with you guys. So thanks.
Would you stretch your hands forward tonight? Let's say a word of prayer over them.
Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening and the time that you've allowed us to spend together and to hear from you and to hear your work through the Lawalis and their impact on the Missouri State University campus. Although sometimes they may not be able to see the end result of their impact or their influence that they're having on international students, Father, we thank you for placing them there for your purpose, for your desire to serve others and to reach others and bring them to Christ through friendship, through relationship, through conversation, through service, Father. We just pray that you would continue to guide and direct them, Father, in their ministry. Pray that you would give them a continued passion for your calling upon their lives. We pray for their family, for their new children, Father, that they're rearing and they're working to invest into, that would also be a passion that you place upon them, their lives, and allow them to have a balance between their ministry at home and also in their workplace, Father. We just pray for what we can do in their ministry as well, Lord Jesus, as you speak to our hearts, as you allow us to take the time to get involved in their ministry, whether it's volunteering our time, volunteering to pray, or to get involved in providing furniture at the furniture swap, Lord Jesus. We just pray that we would be able to bless the Lawalis as well as be able to influence their ministry at Missouri State University. We thank you for the time you've been able to bring us together, Father. We just pray that you would go before us and guide us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.